Mr. McIndoe, reel 7.
John, you've mentioned whiz bangs and coal boxes. Were there any others that you could describe for me?
Oh, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. There was a... I can always remember one morning at Stand 2, in the same sector. I stood in the corner of this, on the corner of the fire step, and, well, whenever a weapon is pointed at you and you're going to be on the receiving side, receiving end, there's a clear note that as soon as that missile leaves the weapon, whether it's a rifle or whether it's even a high caliber shell, and it's going to land near you, you can hear that from the time it's left the breech. Mm. It's so distinct. You hear every movement of it on its way through its destination to you, towards you. And this particular morning, it's a Stand 2, up past 4 or 5, that I huddled myself together in the corner of this traverse, and I thought, hello, I heard a high caliber shell being discharged, or it could be a mile and a half, 2 miles beyond the line, beyond the German line. And I thought, hello, this one's coming a bit close. There had been one or two over beforehand. And I thought, good heavens, yes it is, it's on its way. And instinctively, I got down like that, see? There's a parapet there, you see? Yes. You'd wish the earth had shrunk sometimes so as to let you get in, you know? And yes, of course, it landed here, and it covered me with dirt. The mere fact of it dropped, and no bang. I don't think I'd have been here if it had gone off. Well, it was a 4.7, caliber 4.7, which is a shell round about the size of that jug. Quite a heavy caliber. So, of course, in my sort of excitement, you know, I got up and I thought, I'll listen to see any more, and I just got up and scooped it up in my hand and brought it down onto the fire step, see? And it's still hot, warm, see? I got it down there and, it's a cracker. I'm glad you didn't go off, old man. And I'm looking at it, see? And some 10 minutes afterwards, my platoon officer came round. And he was a nice chap, and he said, what do you got there, mate? I said, well, I'll tell you what I've got here, sir. I said, it's one that's dropped right on the parapet where I was standing to. He said, yes. I said, you buried itself in that sandbag there. And half of the sandbag was down here, see. He said, I think I'll get on the phone. He said to the artillery officer, get him up here. So he did. He got on to the artillery officer from this battery and he came up later on in the morning, mm-hmm. see. And I explained it to him.
Yes.
And he said... And when did you take it out from there? I said, within minutes, I said, of it landing there, see? And he called me a bloody fool, and he said, the mere fact, he said, if you're touching it, he said, and disturbing it, he said, it could have gone up. Mm. It could have gone up. Mm. You're lucky, he said, you're very lucky. I said, I know, I realise I'm lucky. I said, it should have gone up when it landed.
Yes.
I said. Yes. So he said... Now, he said, I want you to put that back exactly how you got it, how it was. So I did. And before I done it, he said, if I could have seen that, he said, in the exact same position and read those figures, He said, we could have located that battery, he said, within 20 yards. Mm. He says, where that come from?
I see.
I express my regret and yes. promise yes. to be more careful yes. in the future. And
yes. Another thing which you told me that you had to contend with was rifle grenades. What were they like to be on the receiving end of?
Very destructive. Very destructive. Oh, yes. There were a steel rod about that long, about a quarter diameter stuff. On the top of that is like a Mills's bomb. Just like it's divided into segments. And and they're fired from the buttock here. You usually have the rifle into the buttock so that it takes the shock of it. Fired with like a round of blank. And you press the trigger at an angle. You use an aperture sight here. You can see well whichever angle, whichever how far the enemy trench is away. Yes, we had an officer killed with one drop right in.
I'd like us to talk now about some of the sort of domestic routine of trench life, the day-to-day happenings. And I'd like to start off with food. Was there a regular number of meals each day taken at the same time?
Oh, good heavens, no. You had to eat when you could.
Tell me what the pattern of eating was like.
Well, the pattern of eating was like this. You had your ration. Your ration was drawn. Half a loaf. Well, that to last you throughout the day. See? How you ate it was nobody's business. You could eat the lot for one meal. Butter. Butter was allocated out, you know, you had a ration. Ration of jam. Usually the jam wasn't proportioned out. It was usually in a jam tin, a huge jam tin. I suppose be about £7, and that would do for the platoon or the sector. You see the section. So you you that went on like that.
Despite the fact that there were no regular meal times, did you nonetheless tend to eat at the same time each day as a matter of choice?
Oh, no. No, your meals you had to eat when you could, really. You had to eat when you could.
What sort of food would you get? Tell me what the food was like when you were in the line.
Well, there was only meat for one meal, and that was mostly the soup or whenever you got it, you know. Oh no, there was no particular lunch hour or lunch time.
Yes,
it varied by hours sometimes. It all depends what you were doing. Or
yes, but tell me of the main kinds of foods that were available to you in the front line. You've mentioned soup.
You know, I really can't say.
Okay, fine, not to worry. Did you get hot food in the trenches with any regularity?
Yes, the soup. It all depends when, where you were and what you were doing. Your meal would be dished up from a Dixie. See, and it was always tried to be kept as hot as possible with a lid on. You see, mm-hmm. And you had a Dixie, you had your own Dixie, which it was measured out, and it was put into your own Dixie. You see, yes, but it was very seldom you couldn't afford to leave food about. It was on account of the rats. You see, mm-hmm. Terrible the vermin that was about.
Was it possible to heat up your food when you were in the line?
Oh no. No, if it wasn't hot when you got it, well, you had to eat it cold or go without.
What about making a brew of tea?
You couldn't make no tea. Tea was a right out of the question, no. No. No hot water for shaving, no. You couldn't even get water at time, cold water to shave, if you had a chance to shave. But very seldom that you bothered shaving, you know.
So when you were in the line, if you didn't get hot food brought up by the ration parties, you would have food cold?
Yes. Mm. Oh, yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Were you ever short of food?
You went long periods sometimes, delayed the ration party getting up. Some it would delay the ration party, no doubt, times, at different times, you know, from getting the food to you.
Yes. These periods, I'd like to talk a bit about personal hygiene. We've spoken about lice, which I suppose comes into it a bit. On the whole, what was your physical condition? What did it get like when after a period in the front line? Did you get very dirty?
Well, you did, but you accepted it. You knew there was no alternative, you know. We did one period in 1915. Well, I think we'd been out there 6-7 months, and they said, we're going out for a week. Going to get a week's rest. Oh, lovely. See, who's coming up here? Oh, the Fusiliers or somebody. Right. Where are we going? We don't know. We're going to Meault. Well, it was only a kilometre and a half behind the lines. You still got gunfire, you know. You never knew when one was going to drop wherever you were. You got in an old barn with... you could still see the skies. And, yes. One afternoon, the cook's kitchens had been hotting up the water. There was two big tubs put out into the courtyard of this farmyard, see. The women were running about as well, didn't take any notice. The tubs were about that wide.
About 3 or 4 feet across?
Yes. There was two or three of you washing in there at the same time. Standing in there, not a stitch on, see. But the water was warm. And it was a real treat to see soap, you know. And, oh dear, it was what an amazing change it had on one's...
Morale,
yes. Yeah. Although morale at all times, apart from this, was good.
Mm.